with us this morning the CEO of the World Floor Covering Association, the WFCA, Scott Humphrey, who is, in, I guess, in the middle of this whole coronavirus situation and the floor covering industry. Good morning. How are you doing, Scott?
Good morning, Dave. Good. I hope you are as well.
Okay. Have you had a chance to get off the phone all this week?
I have not slept much, but, you know what, that's why we're in these positions, and I think we'll be certain where I am, and I'm very cognizantly for all the students. We just don't know what the end game looks like right now.
Well, I have to imagine you getting calls from all over the country, and I suspect, depending on where you are, I suspect some retailers are not having an awfully bad situation, and some of them, I guess, are forced to close down. I guess you've been dealing with all of them.
Yeah, we have, and I can tell you, Jeff King, our legal counsel, has probably never been busier responding to individual questions as well as those that we can file and send to him. And then we have a lobbying firm, lobbyist in Washington, D.C., which is pretty amazing in their ability to get to key stakeholders and get information for us. And so we've been doing a lot of communicating out through our website and social media, me directly through email, not only to our members. And ironically, Dave, in the midst of this, our membership is mushrooming. It's exploding. We've got four times the numbers that we did on January 1st.
Wow.
And so there's even a greater need to communicate than ever before. And people have so many questions. So it's been busy, but I'm just thankful that we're here and can provide some answers.
What are the most common questions that you're receiving from retailers around the country?
Well, everybody wants to know what's going on in Washington, D.C., and obviously how it impacts them, and primarily what do they do to take advantage of it. And so as soon as we find a shortcut or some avenue that allows people to go in and request aid, get a response to a question, then we send that information out. I've got a list of people that I send it to directly. And then we also do a mass mailing to our board of directors first and then to our membership in March.
Now, I guess as we're talking, things are still held up in the House of Representatives. Is the Small Business Administration accepting applications?
Yes, they are, but it's a very slow process. I talked to Don Roberts last night, but it's late. He and I were both still at it, and he said he was going to get up about 3 this morning and try to go in again because it was so slow. Obviously, they were not prepared for this type of response either because nobody really saw this coming. You know, governments run scenarios on things like this in a worst-case situation, but really hope that they never happen. And then they do minimal preparation because, for instance, in the situation we're in, you don't want to go out and build 50 hospitals that aren't going to be used and have them sitting there. You want to have what you know you'll need and then the ability to equip quickly to get to where you're going to have to be to meet the needs of the general public.
If I were a retailer and the first time I heard quarantine and operations are closing and people are staying home, I would worry about cash flow. Is that the most common problem that retailers that are calling you are having?
It is. Cash flow is a big part of it, Dave. It's also how does the sick leave, how does the downtime impact me? What do I have to do? Do I lay my people off? Do I close my doors? Can I send some people home to work from home, but not send everybody home to work from home, whether they're essential workers or not? I've spoken to people on the commercial side of our membership, and they say, you know, they're not as impacted because they're just seen as essential business. Construction is, and so as of yesterday, one of the major commercial groups had told me that they were probably 90% running right now. But that's not the norm for the mom and pop. That's not the norm for the professional flooring dealer. They've been greatly impacted because even if the doors are open, people are concerned about getting out. They're concerned about you coming in. And so installation is impacted, and much of that in many areas of the country is just in a standstill.
I suspect consumers, if I were sitting at home and I could go, hey, the floor looks awful, we might as well buy a new floor now, I would be concerned about the people coming into my home. And if I were going into a store, what precautions they were taking, is that a big area of concern for retailers?
Yes, it is. In fact, I talked to Debbie Graff, who's the chairperson of our executive committee and the board of directors for the WFCA, and you know, she said there are some people in her community that have already shut down all installations. She said they're still doing it if the consumer requests it. Now, that may have changed in the last few days since I spoke to Deb about that, but that's the situation I think you see across the country. It is a local decision by local government, state government, and then federal government in some cases has to step in. But at this point, it does seem
would seem like, I know that the CDC has issued guidance as to what you can do to be safe, and I suppose if you're a retailer and you follow those steps and make consumers aware that you have, I don't think it's gonna mean everybody's gonna run in your front door, but I suspect a lot of people will feel more relaxed about it and be anxious to do business, and I suspect it's the same thing with a salesperson or installer coming into somebody's home. If you can assure people that you're taking those precautions, I suspect it's gonna mitigate that somewhat.
Yeah, and I think there's two ways to look at this. One of them is, first of all, we're all in the same boat. So right now, it's impacting everybody pretty uniformly. On the commercial side, it's impacting commercial groups uniformly. And on the residential side, it's impacting residential groups, individual stores, our membership, in a different way. But everybody is in that boat together. What's important is, how do you utilize what you learn from this to be better prepared on the backside of it? So obviously, everybody's concerned about germs, viruses, bacteria, and everything now. How do you address that coming out so that you can position your business as one that is on the forefront of addressing that concern before it's even mentioned by the consumer? Many consumers are afraid to acknowledge that that's a concern to them because they don't know if this thing is overblown or not. But whether they acknowledge it or not, it probably is an underlying concern. And so the businesses that position themselves as being very clean, very health conscious, very health friendly, likely will have an advantage on the backside of this coming out.
Well, I suspect it would be a good idea for retailers to get whatever precautions they're taking on their website and let consumers know the precautions that they're taking, just to put them at ease.
If ever there is a time to over-communicate, and we are looking at this ourselves, it is now. If people say they get too much communication, you'd much rather err on that side than the other. So yes, on their website, Dave, any social media links that they have, they can direct people to that have that same communication. Reinforcement of the message is vital to get people to conference. They're going to need to come back into the marketplace.
Now, I understand there's some sites, or some states rather, and I think California is one, are mandating businesses close, large and small. I don't know if I think that's true. What are you hearing from retailers from California?
Yeah, I think what they've done in states like California, New York is another one that has them. I think Midnight on Sunday did the same thing. Possibly Pennsylvania, maybe Illinois are in the same situation, but primarily all but non-essential business. And in many of those states, and I think, unless something changed recently, even in California, for a while, big box stores, for instance, big box stores were allowed to stay open because they were seen as an essential business. And so one of the things we've been doing is making sure the message is clear in D.C. that, the independent flooring dealer needs that same opportunity. If you're going to leave the big box stores open because you see them as essential, then the mom and pops in every area of construction should have the same right. And so we're carrying those messages through our lobbying firm up to Washington, D.C., and the key players, our congressmen, our senators. We send communications out to our entire membership, that will be going out today, asking them to contact their senators and their congressmen about things that they can do for their business, for associations at large. And so we're trying to stay as much on top of that as possible. And as you can imagine, it's changing not daily, but hourly.
I can imagine. Well, I can imagine that lobbying probably is at an all-time high at this point, and it's hard to get anybody's ear, I have to imagine.
Yeah, they get a bad name sometimes, David. It sounds like this, and I think it's the same for leaders. I mean, I feel for our president because, he has that same balance that many of us as heads of organizations do, where we have to balance people over programs and survival over success. And when you do those things, people tend to look at you and say, well, you're just worried about the economy. Well, no, we're not just worried about the economy. We're worried about the people that are impacted by the economy. Their health first, certainly, always. But I always have to weigh that through the filter of, after we're taking care of the individual, have we created a business environment that allows them to prosper on the backside?
Okay.
And so these people that are out there talking about it's either one or the other, it's not. And so when you hear the president or Republicans or Democrats saying they're just worried about this, that's not the case. You can't weigh one of these without also evaluating and filtering it through the other.
You know, you alluded to this earlier, the fact that the changes that are forced on us here will ultimately change things once this thing is history. And I'm thinking one of those things is working at home. I suspect this is going to encourage a lot of people to use industry-specific software where maybe they didn't think about it before. Now, they will think about it, and they will, you know, at least have the system set up where they can work from home, maybe where they couldn't before. What do you think?
Hey, that's a great example, Dave. I'm glad you thought about that. I can tell you, I had not even run that through my mind. But the reality is, yes, if the software companies market the fact that they can allow them to do that from home. We were challenged by this before the crisis because unemployment was so low that you had to be more giving. You had to be more understanding. People wanted to work from home one day versus coming into the office. And so you already saw a lot of that taking place. Now it's more forced. And so we've got to be, the people that adapt are the ones that will succeed in this environment. Let me give you a statistic I was looking at this morning because I remembered it from a speech I used to give. I'm going to mention the names of some companies, and I want you to tell me what they have in common. Procter & Gamble, IBM, General Electric, General Motors, FedEx, Hyatt, United Technologies, Microsoft, CNN, Sports Illustrated. All of those companies, Dave, either were formed during the Great Depression or a major recession before this year.
Oh, interesting.
And so companies prosper at this time if they're willing to reinvent themselves and dare to do things different. There is no doubt if we come out of this and we try to do business like we always have, it's going to be some tough road to hoe. But if we're willing to look at it and say, okay, what can we learn from this? How can we reposition ourselves? How can we communicate to the general public and our consumer base that we're different, that we're set apart? What a great time to stand out and say, we're on the cusp of this. We're on the cutting edge. We're doing things not only that others in our industry are doing, but that other industries themselves are doing.
I see. Just in closing, let me ask you to sum up your advice to retailers. What you're advising them to do, and, you know, based on the questions that you're getting, and I guess you had mentioned all of the questions being directed towards your legal counsel, Jeff King. To talk about that a bit.
Well, let me get that in 3 points today. The first one is I would tell you to obey what you're hearing from your state, local, and federal legislators about hunkering down and staying at home and avoiding personal contact. We extend this thing longer the more that we fight back against it. And so I know it's difficult. Listen, I'm challenged. I've got a college student back home who's used to doing things his own way at Bozeman all over the place. And I'm a bit of a clean freak. I've got 3 daughters who are used to being in school every day. But take advantage of this time. One of the things I would tell you that I've told my staff that we've been communicating on a regular basis, in some ways more than ever before, through text and email dialogue, but do not wait this crisis. kind of shackled them was. They could not believe. That's what kept them going. In fact, one gentleman in his 80s was asked, when he was 80 years old, how did you guys survive? He said, one word, shackleton. They found shackles in his diary. And his shackles in his diary, he said, I don't know if we're going to make it. It wasn't optimistic. It was realistic.
Uh-huh.
But he never let everybody else see that. This is the time for leaders to lead, to earn their keep. So throughout our industry, throughout our country, construction, our world, I'm praying that our leaders step up, that they do the right thing, that they think about the people, the real reason that we need this to succeed, and not just the politics of this, but use this time to do something to make yourself better and be mindful that you're being watched and lead.
Well, I have to imagine that employees, whether they're salespeople, work in accounting or installers or anybody else, this is a time that there's a lot of questions in their mind that can certainly use some reassurance, I would think.
Yeah, and just the constant communication, Dave, is part of that reassurance. Dave, let me add one more thing. You can go to our website, WFCA.org. At the bottom of that website, we have links to all of our social media. You can stay in touch with everything that's going on. I'm putting out almost hourly updates, as is our communication person, Freya Staten, who's our VP of Marketing Communication. Steve Abernathy's staying on top of this from a financial standpoint. I mentioned Jeff King, and we've got a phenomenal team working on behalf of our people. If you have not joined the WFCA, that's the place to go to do it, WFCA.org.
Very good. Scott, thanks so much for keeping us up to date here. And do call us if something comes up you'd like to share with the rest of the industry.
I sure will. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Yes, sir. We've been talking with Scott Humphrey. He is the CEO of the WFCA, the World Floor Covering Association. And this is Floor Radio. What?